Hi, welcome to Havila's podcast. I'm Havila Cunnington. I'm so glad you're here. We are wrapping up our September series on purpose-driven habits. And if you found us from the That Sounds Fun Network, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. We had a bunch of new listeners. And if you are brand new, this is a series. So we've done about two other podcasts before this about purpose-driven habits. And so if you are like, I feel like I'm jumping into the middle of something, I would go back and jump into that second week of September and you can start this whole series. But if you don't have time, it's okay. Hang out with us today. I promise it'll be a complete thought. Now, I am not alone. I have my friend and the expert in my life on habits, Jenna Zint, is here with me. Hey, Jenna.
Hey, friend.
I'm really glad you're here. It has been an incredible month.
Yeah.
I've just got tons of feedback from far and wide, really, of people that have loved this series. Mm. We're talking about purpose-driven habits. Last week, we talked about the emotion of the habit, building that kind of inner narrative towards how do we make that habit? How do we have our heart connected to what we're doing? And today, Jenna, what are we talking about? What's the main thought?
We're going to talk about the purpose behind the habit, because I think we can get in the nuanced of starting small, but like, why does it matter? Yeah, especially as like believers, like what's our bigger why? Like, where are we headed with this rather than just being people who have cleaner houses or more on time or have your kids schedule or shower schedule more nailed in? That's been something I've been working on.
That's real.
It's so real. They fight you so hard.
You're so like, oh. I'll never forget when I was talking to you about working out, because you went from, you've always been active. So I don't want to give the idea that you just, you know, you're not active. You've always been active.
Because I'm like a golden retriever with a lot of energy. And if I don't burn a little off, I overwhelm everybody. I'm like, oh yes.
But I saw you setting some significant goals. You got certified in a spin class. And you threw a spin class party for your birthday. I saw you run races and half marathons and all those things. But I'll never forget when I was trying to get inspired and I asked you, Jenna, how do you stay inspired? And you said, I decided that I want to age well. And that is why I work hard to be healthy. Mm. And that was kind of like, well, first of all, I thought, oh no, I'm kind of late to the game.
You're like 7 years older than me.
I know, it's too not that late. Bad.
You lost your window.
I know. But secondly, oh, you found a why. And yeah. I honestly was kind of shocked that I hadn't thought like that. So how did you start knowing to find your why?
I think for me, I realized that like when the habits were helpful, but on days that I was tired, so like even the exercise or it was bad weather or I overslept or didn't get good sleep last night, if I didn't have a clear, like true vision of why it was worth it, I would let the inconvenience derail me. Even if I started really small of only 10 minutes, it's honestly when the honeymoon phase wears off and you're like, I think I heard it was like week 5 or 6 for a lot of new change is usually when you like fall off, and it's when inconveniences pop up most often, or even good, you know, sickness is not just an inconvenience. It's a legit reason. For me, realizing like, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds or I care about like these smaller goals, I would lose emotional connection with, and they just weren't enough to motivate me past, like almost to pull me over the speed bumps of inconveniences. So I just got better at like, what's the big picture? Like, why does this actually matter? And to be honest, like some of my habits, it was not an obvious first, like, this is my why that will motivate me for the rest of my life, you know? But as I like dug in, I would ask myself on my runs, like, why does this matter? Or on my walks, like, why is this important? If I've stopped making, if it's no longer anything about my weight and it's not about like, cause that's too shallow for me, that's not actually going to make me show up on days I don't want to show up. Like, what will? And for me, realizing like, oh, all these crazy stats about how much just movement or a little bit of weightlifting can totally change how we age. It changed my, and then watching my kids interact with different folks who are like 65 plus, and the ones that have maintained and cared for their body, nothing crazy, had so many more options for connections with my kids, where the ones who had a lot of health issues, and a lot of them were due to not maintaining their bodies, you know, even just small habits. They were so limited. It was like on the couch or it was watching a show. So for me, realizing like, oh, how I age is going to affect my connection options for my grandkids. Like that was huge. So that went from this is about me fitting into my genes to, oh no, like I'm lying to myself if I don't think my day-to-day actions are going to affect the kind of grandma I am in like 20 or 30 years. Like I actually want to own that and be responsible because I feel teary. I'm like, I want to have all the options to connect with my grandkids. I want to be able to do what they're doing, walk on the beach, you know, surf with them, ride bikes. And I want to be able to like, and the choices I'm making now are feeding and investing that. So I think of every time I do it, it's an investment to become the kind of grandma I want to be or age the way I want to age.
Okay, so let's talk about cleaning your house. Why do you keep your house clean when you think it all starts again tomorrow?
Oh my gosh, that's so real with you, kids.
Yeah.
It was probably about 6 weeks in. I was like, wait, this will never end. There's no arrival point or line.
No.
So I had like, again, I had to ask myself, I'm like, okay, what's a bigger why? Like, how can I tie it into my identity? And even just like as a believer, like some of the purpose on my life, some of the words that have been spoken over me or the callings that I know I'm meant to operate in, my husband, I'm like, that is where longevity. If I can anchor this little action into like who I'm becoming and who I'm called to be, that gives me so much more of like momentum and motivation because it's like an identity, not just a goal, you know, a daily goal. So for my house cleaning to me, I'm like, oh, actually, I want to automate the more mundane things so that when my kids need me or they have an emotional outburst, I'm not choosing between what's the most urgent. Like I would neglect my dishes and then they'd be so urgent because we'd have no dishes, no silverware. We had like a week and a half, 2 weeks of dishes on the counter, truly. Different seasons of life. I'm like, that's not an exaggeration. So then if something happened, like a friend had an emergency or, and I wanted to cook them a meal, like I couldn't even get there because I was so back. And I was like, oh, I thought this isn't holding me back. And I thought, but really it's actually the foundation of me having the margin to show up who I want to be. So for me, it's like, I automate the more mundane things in my house so that I can choose how I give my best energy. So if something happens that my kids need me more, no problem. My laundry, this load can wait till tomorrow because I'm not 3 weeks behind. I can just miss a day versus, and then it's enabled me to like, as I've asked myself why more, I realize that, oh, now that we're like a year and a half into having a much cleaner house, I'm hosting so much more than I ever did. And that's one of the whys on our life. Like one of the words that I feel like Aaron and I are meant to be, my husband, be community builders. And we're actually meant to facilitate like health and healing for other people who haven't felt like they have a spot, or even showing them like, how do we do life? Let's figure this out together. Like, how do we build a tribe? And instead of waiting for someone to invite us into their tribe, actually being tribe builders. And that requires like a location a lot of times. And often it was like, oh, I have the heart, but because my house is so trashed, I can't be that. So then how often my lack of my habits were stopping me from building community in just a real practical way, which I don't think I connected the dots until I found the difference. And I was like, I told my husband one day, I was like, man, we are like hosting probably 3 or 4 times more than we ever did. And he was like, yeah, it's because now to clean up, to be host ready, it takes us 30 minutes, where before it would take us a half day. So we didn't have that margin. So we'd say no to hosting. So it's been beautiful being like, oh, we get to build. We are actually living more in our calling of being community builders and bringing like healing and restoration for people in health and relationships because of a cleaner house. You don't want to think it's that. You want to think it's learning more about relationships. Like, I think this is what I told myself, and that's totally part of it. And it's getting healthier yourself and like growing in love. But if you don't have a literal place, like when your friend who doesn't have enough friends to host their baby shower doesn't have somewhere to host their baby shower, but your house is so trashed, you can't be that either. Like, I can't give her that very practical act of love, you know? So that has been huge for me. Like, oh, I'm creating, I'm having this be a place that community can be built when it's clean enough. And then even realizing that it's safer. Like chaos, when you walk into a house, it's chaotic. It doesn't feel safe. And your awareness of like, I can show up and be safe and maybe engage emotionally is not there because there's no margin. Whether or not people are aware of it or not, like, you know what it feels like to like sit somewhere chaotic and crusty. You're like, what am I sitting on? You're not thinking, maybe this person's safe enough for me to share your heart. You're like, okay, don't get any stains on my new outfit. So I've just been shocked about how much it's actually it's a piece in the puzzle of my identity. Like so many of my little habits, like even last week we got to take some of Audrey's friends on a field trip. And it was a big deal that the mom trusted us to say yes. Wow. Like we know there's a lot of backstory there. And I felt so honored. And that morning when I was cleaning my car, I could get teary. I actually started crying because I have a weekly habit of vacuuming out my car. And as I was vacuuming, I was so aware of like, oh, like I've been learning for a year and a half how to maintain peaceful environments so that we can bring and facilitate peaceful interactions and we can be a safe place for people. And this is one of those incidents that like I've been trusted. I've been like honestly stewarding the small for this moment. And now we get to be so safe for these kids and be so fun and do all the extra things that maybe would have just even stopped me from participating, if that makes sense. Yeah,
absolutely. I also, I know my big why is Ben functions better in peace. So my why of connection is habits of keeping things clean. So when we're together, he is not busy cleaning up and I'm sitting there going, it's fine. But that why of I want to set him up for success. So some of our habits can be connected to love. It can be connected to connection rather than just, I want a clean house. Well, I may not need that, but my habit of the why is connected to helping someone or loving someone. You are so good. You're an expert, I would say, at habits of connection and relationships with friendships. Mm. And I think as a culture, we get this so wrong, and not to derail the conversation, but you are so, like, I remember when we first started a friendship, I walked out my front door and you had some flowers and like some kind of fun little gift and you had it sitting on my doorstop and you said, I dropped something off. I saw this and thought of you. I know this is your favorite. Just that was like, wow. Like I remember it was probably like 8 years ago, but I remember that was just this moment of connection that you just kind of went, I'm going to do this. So you taught a class, you've been teaching a class for all of our women at Bethel with a couple hundred women. And you talked about kind of this idea of, okay, I want to do a dinner for someone that needs it, but I'm not going to sit and cook a dinner. If I can't even cook a dinner for my family, I'm not going to sit and make two dinners. 100%. So you talked about that. And I think that was so practical. Can you explain a little bit about how your habits connect to the why of being maybe a great friend or a great leader in your life?
I think that's been such a key. It's almost just like a heart posture. You could be doing the same things, but without realizing you're a vote to like your purpose or who you are or like the person you're called to be. And it totally shifts everything, you know? So if you're cleaning your house out of control because you feel unsafe, that's probably not going to yield the same fruit of like, oh, I'm facilitating connection and creating a safe resting spot. And
it's almost in the defense of fear, anxiety, and shame, rather than offensively saying, I'm doing this because I'm voting towards who I want to be and what I value.
And what's going to happen here too.
What's going to happen?
Like I'm prepping the environment so that like connection and love and life can happen versus control. So for me with friendship stuff, like it's been so shocking. It's interesting because like, it's so cool that we are so interconnected with Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest, but then how often I feel like we're naturally, it's ramped up idealism and perfectionism with how we show up for people or what it looks like to show up for a friend with a meal. So then we think, like, I caught myself so often like, oh, like if I drop that gift off, often if I drop a gift off, it's literally in the package from the store or it's in the Trader Joe's bag or whatever, versus in my head, my idealism would be like, oh, like if you really want like to bless her or be cool or, you know, be extravagant, you would get a gift bag, you get really great tissue paper, you'd whatever, you'd make something, you'd hand make a card. I don't know. But often it's just that thing. And I used to let idealism of how I would love to show up if I had all the time and money in the world stop me from just doing little votes of connection or love. Like, hey, I was thinking about you. And I think that's the biggest thing for me is I stopped listening to that voice of idealism. Like, oh, maybe I can't do a Pinterest level 9, but I could do a level 1. I could just give her a thought, like sow a seed of love is kind of how I think about those little actions. And that's always valuable, even if it's not beautiful and Pinterestable.
What do you tell yourself when you go, okay, I can't make them a meal, but I can pick up an extra rotisserie chicken?
Oh my gosh, all the time. Yeah.
How do you tell yourself that's okay?
I get stuck and I can't land. I'm like, oh, they're going to like, it's either like, think they're going to judge me or feel shame that it's not what it could be. And I just think a lot of times I'm like, how would I feel though if the roles were reversed and they knew my kid was in the hospital and they did not, I know the life they live and they didn't have time to make me a meal, but they gave me a chicken and they said they saw like, that just me, I would hear, I see you. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. We're with you. Yes, I said we're praying, but here's just evidence that you're literally on my mind. And I like, let us know what else you can do. Cause that's the interesting part of, being in trauma, because oftentimes I'm famous for, I usually now one of my habits when I go to Costco is just buy an extra rotisserie chicken because I'm like, I have someone who's probably sick or spouse is out of town or is just you know, have something that like an easy meal would make them feel loved in a way that flowers maybe wouldn't, you know? So many of us are in the trenches of practical mom life that it's like, yep, I'll take the rotisserie chicken over that chrysanthemum or succulent any day, you know? Anyways, but this idea of, oh, I know, when we were in, when my daughter was, had her diabetes and we got flown to a hospital a long ways away. So many of our friends wanted to be there for us and would text us like, how, just let me know, how can I help? And I believed them, but I was so overwhelmed with the trauma that I had literally zero margin to think how to tell them to help me. And then I got confronted with just some well-meaning people, which I honestly have done to other people, where like, why didn't you ask me? I could have helped you. I wanted to help you. And in that moment, I realized like, oh, it just shifted everything for me. I'm like, when people are in crisis, they don't have the margin to tell me how to help them. I know a food or a meal is always practical. Worst case scenario, they literally throw the chicken away, but at least I made an effort. Like, wow. I don't want to make it your job to tell you or you to figure out one more thing on your task list of how I can love you well. Here, I'll just give you this. Like, this is, no, you're seen, you're loved, and here's a little bit of support in a very practical way.
And it's $5. You know, it's like sometimes we think it needs to be steak and all the things, but just that practical, you were really good at sometimes you've, in the midst of my life, you've sent me like Walmart drop-off food, like just here's, you know, ice cream or celebration. And it's not formal, but it's the like that connection. So
I think of it as life on life. I think we get really stuck in curating moments. Mm. And I'm like, I just don't think we're meant. If I get stuck as my like bar for showing up was curated, then I'm going to show up a lot less. But I care about being in your life a lot more. So I'll pick the real moments so that I can be there more, because that's what I have the margin for. Then I do curation.
I love that. Okay. So your why, when you started doing it, you obviously went past the perfection and the level 10 Pinterest moment. What was your why? Your why was, what I heard is empathy. I think some of your habits were directed to, I know what it's like to be there.
100%.
And so there's a shift between how I am seen versus what I want others to experience from me.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. You're drawing connections.
I'm just thinking, I mean, even you saying I want to be there for my grandkids is I'm putting others ahead of me. I'm thinking that I don't want to get out and move. And then 20 years from now, I can't get off the couch. And that doesn't put them before me. I'm putting them before me. So your why is almost selfless in some ways. Mm-hmm. Your habits are directed to not selfishness. I'm going to go run 10 miles so I look cute in the bathing suit. Yeah. But I want to be there for the people I love most. So there's such an exchange. And I think that some of the things you've talked about, and we've spent a lot of time talking about this personally. I've actually attended your masterclass for weeks. You're teaching all of our women right now. There is this godlikeness, this godliness to habits. It's the powerfulness that says, I'm going to own my life, even if it's not perfect. I'm going to own my choices and I'm going to be linked to my purpose. So you and I had a long conversation about, you know, I always say, if you want to change the world, but you can't change your sheets, I don't know how that's going to happen. Right. Or if you want to run if you want to have a nonprofit, but you can't balance your budget, it sabotages your purpose. Yeah. And so can we talk about that for a minute? How does, if we don't have the margin, the finances, the resources, if we don't have that organized or don't have a habit around it, it literally hurts us to get to where we want to go. So how do we get more, how do we figure that out?
Yeah, I think it's so the idea that if we're always living out of overwhelm, even if we have like something that, like a word we feel like we're meant to do, like starting a ministry for X, Y, or Z, or like to minister to, you know, single moms or something like that. But if you're living in overwhelmed in your own life and you're living in chaos, your best intentions of that ministry, it's going to be so much harder because you don't have, it's like built on a foundation that's very unstable. And watching like, oh, if it does, let's hope it doesn't, but in 3 years, if it doesn't work out and it closes the ministry, I'm like, I bet you could draw a direct correlation to like, oh, I actually didn't have the capacity to build that. That was a word on my life, but I was so overwhelmed and chaotic with my home or these more like honestly foundational things, not in a way to be judgmental, but like, how can you build if you don't have margin? How can we build if we're living out of overwhelmed? Like we don't have the capacity. We want to. Sometimes building's way prettier and kind of more fun and glamorous and you get the accolades for it. But the idea of like kind of tighten it up at home before, and metaphorically home, like the area that you feel stuck in, get unstuck. buy back some of that before you invest in the next season of like building.
Yeah, because I think internally you do feel like an imposter, or you are being almost like hypocritical when you're have this one part of your life really great, but yeah. deep down, you know, I'm not really stewarding my body, my health, my, you know, whatever it is. I have two questions. First question, what do I do when I want to have a habit, but I have a spouse or I'm in a roommate situation where they don't want to participate, or I don't know how to change it because I want to keep a clean kitchen, but nobody wants to keep it. And then all I'm going to do is clean the kitchen every night. Or, you know, I want to be healthy and have good food in the house, but everyone gets mad if I don't buy the food that they want me to buy. Those are some questions that think we kind of get stuck. So how did you untangle that part of you of staying powerful, becoming powerful without making other people make the choice.
It's such a real part. You're like, once you get some traction and then you're like, oh, I realize all the speed bumps around me are these people. It's not me. I'm no longer the speed bump. But then, so then don't make my mistake. I then helped my husband. I gave him all the habits that he could do. And that went, as you can imagine, and it felt controlled and he didn't, you know, he felt mothered. It did not work. But then I felt like a little bitter and stuck like, oh, I can't, I'm stuck with making this progress because you're my limit. And I just felt like the Lord had a moment with me. He's like, oh, don't play the blame game. Don't waste time with, yes, there are things that they're directly affecting your environment. That's true. But if you focus on them, you lose sight of like the 180 other degrees of this equation that you can do something about. So for me, like, can you trust me and them? Like, can you trust me in their process is actually more true. I used to think like, can I trust you in them? And I'm like, I don't know if I can trust my 9-year-old. I want to, but the Lord's like, okay, can you trust me? Am I trustworthy that if I'm in their process, you go handle what you can do something about and let's see what grows in their life rather than me micromanaging their own growth. And it's like, it doesn't mean that there's not pain. And that when I do encounter limits, maybe because of other people, like I can express my pain with the Lord, but I don't blame. There's like a real big difference when I'm like blaming is when I limit my own options and put down what I can do in power and I get stuck. It's like codependency. I get stuck. I'm here because you're here. But like, actually, you can entirely do something. And then the cool part is I have watched time and time again, when you actually let down, let go of control and go after a journey of growth in your own life that is not secretly waiting for the other person to be inspired when it's actually truly for you. You know what I mean? Like
I do.
I don't have a secret message in all this. My husband has like come up in all the areas. Some of them it's taken 3 weeks. Sometimes it took 9 months. Sometimes it's taken 2 years, but every time I start to do the blame game, I like go back to the Lord. He's like, okay, talk to me. Am I trustworthy in this process? Do you trust me again? You're starting to micromanage.
So
I'm like, okay, I'm going to give it back to you. Like and your so time frame and mine are so different.
So I will clean, I will do the dishes. Yeah. And this sounds terrible, but how do I not become the person that is just working all the time?
That's the thing. You know what I mean? The beautiful thing is like, I think it switched for me. I'm like, oh, it's 10 minutes of cleaning. If it's totally out of your control and they're going to trash it again with my kids or whatever. That's why I don't keep my car perfect. I just clean it once. I vacuum it once a week because I can't have perfect be my standard and not try to control my kids because there's so much in my car. So I'm like, okay, give it 10 minutes for your kitchen and they're going to see a difference. And sometimes I'll be like, babe, I've been doing the dishes for like 3 weeks. And he's like, I noticed. And then his awareness just like, I think I'm going to do the island. I'm going to start wiping it off. Again, I didn't notice, but the idea of, oh, I like how this feels. I wonder how else if you're only giving it 10 minutes, what if I only gave it 10 minutes has really changed a ton. So just limit yourself. And then too, like, honestly, there are some habits that I was a little more bitter about doing than others. Okay, I'm going to be totally honest. We couldn't afford a landscaper, so we let it go. And then his value for lawn care and mine are different. And I felt really judgmental for a long time because I was like, mine's right. Like what I think our lawn should look like and what you like, I am the right one. You are the less. And then the Lord just convicted me. So then I started mowing my, he's like, hey, if you want your lawn mowed, you can do it yourself. And I bitter mode for like weeks, you guys. Oh my gosh. I wish I could say that I had such a great attitude, but then the Lord was like, why are you so upset? I'm like, cause this is a man's job. And he's like, oh, just like it was a female's job to get up at night with your, like all the other areas that your husband has stepped up on that a 1950s husband would not do. You're being so hypocritical. I'm like, you're right. So then I had to be like, I'm mowing my life. Why is this connected to me? I'm not showing him. I'm not proving him. I'm not carrying some of the weight he's not carrying. I'm mowing my lawn because I can do hard things. I'm mowing my lawn because I'm a homeowner who's responsible and I can tell myself what to do and do it. And I had to every time blame started, I'm like, what about me? Why am I doing this?
Not finding your power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember Walt Disney. We did this tour years ago and they said, if you ever go to Disneyland, everyone's always cleaning up. Like you see people going up and down the street and all their workers clean all the time. Like everything is just really immaculate. And Walt's core thing was if you take care of things, people will do what they see you do. So if we keep it clean, then people are more prone to throw their trash away. And so it was almost like a subconscious reality that we keep this place clean. That's who we are.
That's so good.
And so I love what you're saying, which is you do your part and subconsciously even with the people around you, they'll start to pick up on it.
Even my kids will be like, oh mom, like I remember my daughter the other day. She's like, I did my habit of putting our shoes away. And I've never told her that was a habit, but the awareness of she's probably seen me put them away so many times and not bitterly that she then was like, I want to make sure to help. Like she said, I want to help you keep it clean versus like mom controlling us, which was like really cool. I actually was going to say, I think that habits are literally like, in the very simplistic way, co-laboring with who you're meant to be and who you're called to be. Like it feels
say that again, because that was so good.
Are like co-laboring with the words on your life. And I think if you can actually connect with, I don't know, I led a missions trip last year because I want my kids to experience like service like that, like not just in our first world nation. And there wasn't any options. So I was like, okay, I'm going to lead it. That's a lot. I have a lot on my plate already. Am I prepared for this? And every 2 weeks that we had a meeting for 9 months, I felt the like cost of it and the inconvenience. And I'm like, should I cancel? Why am I doing this? And it would be those moments. I'm like, oh, what's my why? Like whenever inconvenience tries to talk me out of some of my habits, that's when I have to pull out my like, how is this collaborating with my purpose on my life? Like, how is this collaborating with like the words and who I'm supposed to be, like how I'm supposed to show up, like what's the calling on my life? And then it just quickly like, oh yeah, the cost of inconvenience fades. Cause I think in our world, we get the cost of inconvenience. We take as feedback as a lot, like we're not supposed to, we're not meant to, but I'm like, oh, actually uncomfortable is okay. You know, especially when it's tied to like, I want to raise my kids this way. This is uncomfortable and inconvenient. That's okay. I can show up because I'm becoming like, I'm raising kids who will like serve and who will learn how to like minister to other kids. And I care about the moms that I'm building this with. There's so much more purpose. If I actually sit and like remind myself how this is tied to who I'm becoming, the inconvenience just fades, you know?
How many moms went on that trip?
We had 12 moms and like 15 kids and we built a house in a weekend. We literally were laughing because all our husbands were like, are you going to be able to build a house without us? And I was all like, yeah. And then we got there and I was like, they handed me a nail gun and they said, go make the roof. And I was like, oh, am I going to be able to do this without my husband? But it was so cool and beautiful. And we actually like empowered the kids to teach them how to like give words and like pray over people and watching our kids step out in ways. And they're all my friends' kids. So it wasn't strangers' kids. Yeah. It had so many layers of purpose that I was like, I'm so glad I didn't let inconvenience every week that a meeting came up talk me out of this, because I wouldn't be able to taste this if I didn't have all those little habits and meetings that led up to this, you know?
Oh, so good. So the big takeaway is that when we have habits, we're co-laboring, we're taking votes towards our big purpose. And if you get your why, then it makes the inconvenience, you're more consistent. And also, and we know this as well, when you have habits, they immediately eventually become automatic, which then doesn't take as much effort.
So true.
So then you're almost subconsciously taking votes towards your purpose without having to fight to do that. So it's going to be uncomfortable in the beginning, but you're going to get there. Jenna, this has been phenomenal. This whole series, there's so much here. And I know there are those that are listening that want more. They're like, this is so good, but I want to talk about my house more. I want to talk about my kids more. I want to talk about my finances. I want to talk about my health and I want hacks. I want to know how to do this. And this is really, when we talked about this, this is why you created your Habit Lab Master Course. And it is how many weeks is it?
It's 10 weeks.
10 weeks. It has a start and a stop, which means we onboard into the class. It's a full school in habits really for 10 weeks. And we have it open. The doors are open. It's closing very soon. We have a lot of people that have already signed up.
If you're listening, go now if you're interested, because the chances are the registration is closing soon. Yeah. Every week we do a live call and we have an in-person and a virtual one. And it's an hour of teaching followed by 30 minutes of small group just to digest like what you learned. And instantly people are like, okay, I live in another country, or how will that work? It's recorded. So if you can't show up for the live, you get all the same things minus the small group, which we actually have a private Facebook group that the folks who aren't able to attend the live class will get on and still get the benefits of the community by being involved and like active on the Facebook group, which is so cool. And then every week there's like about a 15 minute homework video with a 15 minute written exercise that goes with it. So it's 10 weeks. It starts October 2nd. If you're hearing this and you want to join me, you got to go now, go now, bye go now.
It's in, the link is in our show notes, or you can go to, I would say,
truthtotable.com/habits.
So it's truthtotable.com, which is our normal. Yeah. If you've never heard, it's like farm to fork, truthtotable.com/habits. It is open right now for registration. It is not, it's men and women, couples, moms and daughters, or fathers and sons. It's really anybody and everybody can do this.
I get asked a lot about the demographic, and I would say like 40% are 30 to 45. I'd say 20% are 45 to 55. And then the rest, whatever the number is over 55. So yeah, there's actually a pretty good spread, because people have been like, are they all young moms like you?
And I'm
like,
nope, no.
There's a lot of grandmas in there and empty nesters. It's
business
just
owners, professionals, pastors. I mean, it's a diverse group of people, because these habits are not just about having toddlers. I mean, this really is growing. We talk about morning routines, evening routines, learning what kind of habits you want to start, building those habits, having accountability to those habits. And then also, it's really what she's teaching is the strategy to building these habits and the accountability, so you can continue this for the rest of your life and build the life you want to build. I use a lot of this even now with my teens, learning how to parent my teens with habits. I learn it with my husband and I. We talk about what habit can we build around this core value. So it is a lifestyle kind of, it's a 10-week, it is an investment. It's not a free class. This is a masterclass. We open the doors, we close the doors, and anybody who's in it has invested significant to be there. So make sure you go to truthtotable.com/habits. Join us. This is the only one we have going on right now. I don't know when the next one will be. Definitely not this year. So make sure you jump in. If you live in Reading, you can attend in person.
I'm so excited. This is one of the in-person one I love too.
I'm so excited. But if you are anywhere in the world, there is an online experience, and all of that is there. If you go there, I promise all of that is there. Join us. We've already had tons of people join us in both of those worlds. And if nothing else, we are so excited about your life, what God is doing. And our goal here is to bring some truth to your table. And today it was the truth that your habits are about co-laboring toward your purpose. And so Jenna, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, fun.
I'm glad that you're in our life. And here's the thing, you're going to hear more from Jenna, because she's what she's doing, Truth to Table is championing as well and partnering. So we love you guys. Have a great day. If nothing else, we will see you next time. And if you love this podcast, Jenna will specifically go into those comments and read anything that you loved about this podcast.
That's so true.
Make sure you name her. Make sure you name her and let her know, because then she can go in and read.
I'm a words of affirmation girl too. So I'm like, you know, that's true.
Yes, it is. And so write those comments or the 5-star. I promise it's super easy to do. And it really does mean a lot to us as podcasters. Okay, you guys have a great week, and we'll see you next time.